if you don't like the weather in blank, just wait a minute. Now, I've lived in 4 different states that each claim this folksy quip as their own pronouncement of the unpredictability of their weather. Each attributed this to a favorite son. Oklahoma said it originated with Will Rogers. In Illinois, they probably thought it was Abe Lincoln. And in Tennessee, they swore Elvis was the first to utter this phrase. My current home state of Indiana has competing myths. David Letterman, James Dean, maybe even John Mellencamp. Now, there's another declaration that seems to have questionable origin. This one has to do with churchgoers and their love of good food. Growing up with a stepfather who was a Baptist minister, I experienced a great many pitch-ins, potlucks, dinners on the grounds, and prayer breakfasts. There's one thing for sure about Baptists. We really love to eat. Now, as a young boy, I took this at face value, thinking that our particular branch of the church had some sort of special deal with the Lord so that our food tasted better. I had no idea that while we were devouring our deviled eggs, the Catholics were feasting at their fish fries, the Quakers were chowing down on chicken and noodles, and the Lutherans were devouring Jell-O salads. As I did some denominational hopping over the next few years, I got to taste test for myself. And along the way, I befriended several folks outside the Christian faith, and it seems that even the folks at the synagogues and the mosques are quite fond of food as well. Now, there's something special about communal meals. Regardless of the name on the sign outside that house of worship, sharing faith and food. At times, eating together is a sacred ritual. At other times, it's just a chance to spend time with good friends. And when people leave a congregation for one reason or another, or when that congregation closes its doors, the most precious memories are more likely to be of breaking bread in the fellowship hall than of hymns and sermons in the sanctuary. In one small town, a few people are still around who once attended a little country church that had some great food traditions. Many years ago, membership had dwindled to such low numbers that they had to merge with an in-church town of that same denomination. And although some of the county church's traditions were incorporated into the city church, others were lost in the transition. One memorable event at that country church was the Groundhog Day Dinner, featuring groundhog loaf. Now, this wasn't the frugal use of roadkill, but rather a clever play on words. The church had several hog farmers in the congregation, and someone came up with the idea of serving groundhog loaf, aka ham loaf. On each Groundhog Day, members and guests would get together to eat and talk, no doubt, about whether or not Punxsutawney Phil saw his shadow. After many, many years, the good folks at the city church decided to resurrect the country church's tradition of hosting a Groundhog Day dinner. Now, there may not be any significant theological implications to the Groundhog Day dinner, but it certainly offers a great opportunity for food and fellowship and to be a part of a tradition thought to be long gone. So if you're a member of a faith congregation, I sure hope you have some food traditions. If not, maybe it's up to you to start one. If you'd like to try groundhog loaf this year, you can find the recipe on the website. Maybe you can even invite the chair of your congregation's fellowship committee over for dinner and start planning for next year.